God bless you all once again. Let's just ask our Lord to be with us. Precious Lord Jesus, Lord, we just take this moment, Lord, to welcome you here, Lord, this afternoon, Lord Jesus. If it wasn't for you, Lord, we'd just be meeting in vain, Lord. And Lord, we just humbly come before you, Lord, and ask that you would speak to every heart, Lord. Draw us closer to yourself, Lord, and may we be found doing, Lord, your perfect will for our lives, Lord, and what you would have for us, Lord, and not what we think we should be doing, but what you would have for us to be doing, Lord. And commit each one here, Lord, and those that might be listening in, may you be their portion this afternoon, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So we sing number 234, Are You Washed? Of sins, no access back to the Father. Let's sing number 231, I Have a Message from the Lord.
I have a message from the Lord, hallelujah, a message that I Yeah.
Just to know it's that simple. He's the one that'll sustain you. He's the one that'll draw you to himself. In him, all is complete. Now let's sing number 228, He is Able.
God said, set my people free and let them go. God said, set my people free and let them go. God said, set my people free and let them go. Into the promised land. He's able, he's able, I know. He's able, I know.
That he's able this morning. It's him we're trusting to. We'll just sing number 187 and then I'll ask if there's any testimonies this afternoon. But we'll sing Every Day with Jesus.
Every day with Jesus. Every day with Jesus, it's sweet and sweet.
be seated. Is there any testimonies this afternoon of what the Lord is doing for you? Has done? Brother Lee?
Lord bless you. I went out fishing yesterday with a chap, Mark Kingsbeer, who I've known for quite some time. And I said to Barbara before I left that if the Lord gives me the opportunity, I'd like to be able to speak to him about the Lord. I never have spoken to him about the Lord. And so he invited me out, which I was quite surprised, first time he's done it. But when I prayed, I asked for the Lord to bring the subject up somehow that was convenient. And he mentioned because of the catastrophe at Christchurch for those Muslim brethren, he asked me about my opinion of it. And I said, well, it's very, very terrible. But, you know, the Lord, when he died on the cross of Calvary, it wasn't just for you or me or our people. It was also for the Muslims. And they are very much so in God's plan as any one of us. And so I started to tell him, and he just listened. This is talk about 45 minutes of talking to him, and he wasn't rejecting it, but he wasn't saying a whole lot, but he listened. And he came up and he said to me, oh Lee, I believe. And I said, well, don't be upset, but you might believe, but what are you doing about it? I said, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll follow him. And I said, it's not a matter of going to this church, that church, another church, or even my church. That's not going to save you. What we've got to do is just come into the family of God. And I said, Mark, something that you may have not realized, you know, you can't even come to God except he first called you. He said, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, the thing is that some people, when I tell them about the Lord, might just say and think in themselves or in their heart, oh, Lee Searle, you don't know what you're talking about. It's a lot of hogwash. But I said, there'll be other people that would say, well, there's something there that he's saying that kind of sounds it might be right. I don't know about it, but it's kind of right. And I said, then that wouldn't be me telling them, or you in this boat today. I said, it's God, the Holy Spirit, just touching your heart, speaking quietly to you. If there's something that rings a bell, that's God talking. And that is where we need to make a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't believe in a church or a denomination or this preacher or that preacher. They may well be Christian. A lot of people in other churches, many other churches, feel that they're a Christian because they go to church. I said, that is absolute rubbish. It's whether you're in the family of God. And if you feel that there's something there, I do invite you to come to our church, because all we preach is what the Bible says, and I'd like for you to come and hear. You don't have to join anything. All you got to do is listen. Make your own judgment. That's God's way. Amen. Is there any other testimonies? Sister June?
I'm just wanting to thank the Lord for watching over Nancy, who's in Christchurch. And I know she wouldn't have been in the scene of things, but she was in the mall, wherever that is. And she got home and she didn't even know what had happened until the I'm not sure if Tina told her first or the man. She's in a studio unit that a couple there are looking after. And the man came over and said, don't go outside of your doors and that, and he told her about it. But I'd just like to give thanks to the Lord that he watched over her.
I just want to thank my sister. Thank the Lord as well. I was searching for peace in Scripture, but I said, I'm going to Isaiah. I said, I want peace from Isaiah. So I found a few, and one real gem I thought was encouraging to the body, especially to me. And it's from Isaiah 48:18-19. Oh, if you had hearkened unto my commandments, then had your peace been as a river, and your righteousness as the waves of the sea. Glory to God.
Any others? Sister Dine.
I just thank the Lord for undertaking with my swollen hands. I can play the guitar again.
Sister Mill.
I really like to thank the Lord. This is not my testimony, but I was so blessed by it because we know God grants you the desires of your heart. Now, Michelle is recuperating from quite a serious operation, and she said, she just the other day, she said, I just felt like some Anzac biscuits. She said, how I like. She said, I really would like some Anzac biscuits. And who should come along with Anzac biscuit but a sister? And then she said, Adina had gone to town and she never said anything to anybody. She said, oh, because she's got a, excuse me, she does like pies, and there's a special shop down in Whanganui that has very nice pies. And she said, oh, I would, home, I'd love to. Nobody there, and she didn't ring Dean. And anyway, he rang her up to, he, unknown to her, to say, would you like, and she just immediately said, yes, I would. Because, I mean, and he said, how did you know? She said, oh, she said, the Lord told me. And then she said she went to bed the other night, and she said, I can't remember the biscuit, she said, but there were special biscuits. And she said, I really wanted them. But she was going to bed, and she said, oh, I didn't cook them. She said, oh, just, anyway, she went to bed. And the next morning, the neighbour next door, Mrs. Curry, came over with a box of exactly what she wanted. And then she said, I had done, which I remember I did now, when she was so sick. I thought, oh, she'd like, because I'd make cake for her, for the family. But she loved the cake. I don't know why. But anyway, she said, oh, I just like Nana's cake. And she said, I went out the back door, and there it was on the steps, because I sent a courier. She said, I just thank the Lord. She said, God does grant you desires of your heart. I was so blessed to hear that. Thank you, Lord. That's a tremendous blessing of him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, brother.
Any others? You know, some of the things that I think, you know, when the Lord does, like Sister Mill just mentioned there, I just feel that the Lord, watching, looking down at us, sometimes just smiles. Is that what you asked for? Well, that's what you've got.
Praise the Lord. I want to give a testimony. I was in here on Thursday, I think it was, with a technician, just getting the sound right. Praise the Lord, has been made right. You wouldn't know anything about it, but people out there on the internet do. They've written to us and said, we can't hear you properly. And so anyway, we was testing this and testing the organ and sound and the piano and everything. And I started to play the organ, and he was standing here. I was just playing Sweet Hour of Prayer. He says, Howard, there's something about that music. I can't explain it, but it's just so wonderful. He's not even a Christian. He said, I don't know what words to express it as, but that's so beautiful. And I said, it's the Lord, you know, it's his songs, and it's a beautiful instrument. And I was just so encouraged to hear him say that, because God is in music, definitely. And we want to give ourselves more to the music as well. So I just thank God for him blessing me like that, and And Brother Tim comes up this morning, this afternoon actually. And he started to sing that song. What was it about the blood? Remember the first one? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And I said, thank you, Lord. With my sermon this afternoon is the blood will never lose its power. And I just thank God for that. See how everything works together, what you're saying, Lee? Everything's working together. And we just had a call from, while I was at lunch, from a sister in Florida, America, and they heard the service this morning and just wrote that they were very blessed. Thank you very much. So God's moving by His Spirit. Is anybody else with a testimony? Sister Shirley, you have one? Sister Anna, do you have a testimony? Hey, so I'll bring a microphone because we're a bit deaf these days.
I praise the Lord, forgive me, then renew the driving license.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Anybody else? All right. Thank you, Brother Tim.
Do you know what that sounded like? It's a bunch of answered prayers. And don't forget it when you walk into the week, you know. That will sustain you. The Lord answers prayer. There's no one that can make that happen. Let's sing number 218. I am thine, O Lord. And then I'll ask Brother Howard to come. Be seated. Thank you, Brother Howard.
Thank you, Lord. I wonder if we could just stand for the reading of God's word. I want to read from Book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 through 15. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered and once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the mighty God, to a living God. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So may the Lord just bless his precious word. Lord, we just thank you for the privilege of having the Bible. It's so pure and undefiled, Lord. Lord, we don't want to change anything. We just want to keep it the way it is. Pray, Lord, that you'll speak to us this afternoon as we for a few moments come around thy wonderful word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I remember when I wrote this sermon or prepared it, I can't remember the details except that I was in a meeting and I was preaching. And I started to preach, the blood will never lose its power. And when I did, there's such a presence of God, I tell you what. Just suck me up. So wonderful. Because the blood will never lose its power. Never lose its power. Here or there, or across the river. So just thank the Lord for that. So we know there were two covenants, the Old and New Testament. Testament means a covenant. And there were two. And both had blood sacrifices. The Old Testament had blood sacrifices, bulls and goats. And the New Testament had blood sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And it says in Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission or no forgiveness of sins, we could say. So the New Testament replaced the Old Testament. Hebrews 10:8, we read this. Above, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadest pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Isn't that wonderful? Clean, pure and white through the blood of Jesus. You know, in the natural, we all know that blood is the lifeline. You know, it's just a miracle thing. God designed it this way. Blood is the lifeline. And you can have a very healthy body, but if you don't have any blood in you, you're dead. So the blood is the lifeline, even though the body may be nice and healthy. Of course, that wouldn't happen. But blood carries the oxygen in the food, in the blood to all parts of the body. And, you know, it's an amazing thing they know that you cannot get blood from a dead man in a transfusion and put it into another person. They won't live by it. When the man dies, the life leaves the blood. And that's exactly what happened when Jesus died. The life left the blood. And it's come back today as the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? And so it's just the way God has made it, and it's testifying of his redemption. In the beginning, corruption of sin separated man from God. We know that from Genesis. They used to enjoy his fellowship during the cool of the evening. What a time that must have been. What a time that must have been. To go down the cool of the evening, there was the Lord. You could fellowship with him and talk with him. And a terrible thing happened. Sin entered in, and they were cut off. And man passed from life unto death. It was terrible. In Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." God changed things. He arranged things not to lose his children. He's arranged things not to lose you. Isn't that wonderful? God's justice required the shedding of innocent blood for the sinner. Animals were the only ones that qualified as sinless. That's why God used animals in the Old Testament, because they were sinless. They didn't have any guilt. And he used them, their bloods, for the covering of sin, not for the obliteration of sin, but for the covering of sin. The animal sacrifice was only a covering for man, a temporary arrangement, as we would say. In Hebrews 10:11, "And every priest standeth ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. Though they offered the sacrifices every year, they never took away the sins. They just covered man." And the Old Testament blood, even though it couldn't take away sins, it had power in it. It really did. It gave the high priest, when he went into the holiest of holies with the blood of an animal, he was preserved from being struck down dead. Anybody that went behind that curtain in the Old Testament without the covering of the blood would have died immediately. But the blood of the animals and the sincerity of the people, the high priest was spared from being struck down, carrying that blood after he sprinkled it over the people. And so that blood had power in it. The blood that was put on the doorposts and lintels of Egypt, the houses, stopped the death angel from hitting that house. This is just the blood of an animal. Lamb's blood. Isn't that wonderful? And it held back the walls of Jericho. When Rahab was in there, she put a scarlet thread down the window representing the blood, the sacrificed blood, and it was held down over her window, and her house never fell, but the rest of it did. There's power in that blood too. It held back the judgment of God many times in the scriptures. We see the blood of animals was powerful too, if it was done according to God's word. Now the New Testament blood is all powerful. It's all powerful. Under the new covenant, God wanted an everlasting sacrifice, not just a one-time thing. You know, every period they came up and offered, it wasn't. It was once and for all. Not once a year, but once and for all. And I want to read from Hebrews 10:9-10, which says, "Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first," that's the Old Testament, "that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all." So the body, the blood of Jesus Christ is an eternal covenant. Just so wonderful. Who's glad to belong to this covenant? Oh, cling on to this covenant because it's life. Never to pass away. Never let any devil try to undermine the power of the blood of Jesus. Sometimes you may have done some terrible things. You may have sinned badly. But remember this, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. How? By the blood of Jesus. Blessed be his wonderful name. So under the sacrifice, it had to be given,
under this sacrifice of the Lord, it had to give resurrection power. The blood of Christ has resurrection in it. Job knew by revelation the power of his Redeemer to come. Remember, Job's, I don't know how many hundreds of years, but he was long before the Lord came. It says in Job 19:25 and to 27, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." How did he know that? God showed him. Job, "I know my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God." Job knew that he'd be buried and the skin worms are going to eat him up. But he knew that there's coming a resurrection and that he will see the Lord in his body, in this flesh, "I shall see God." Isn't that wonderful? Are you going to see God in your flesh? Doesn't matter how old you get, Sister Cowley. You will have a new body. And I'll have a new body. We all have a new body. "Whom I shall see for myself," Job said, "and mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me," he says. So not an animal, but God's own blood. And this blood would never lose its power. It'll never lose its power. If you get into trouble, call on the blood of Jesus. Oh, for the blood of Jesus. Lord, we call on the blood of Jesus. It's power in the blood. If you believe it, you'll be protected from every enemy. So what has the blood for us today? It brought us a new and living way. In Hebrews 10:19, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." Now listen, when the priest went down into the temple, go to behind that curtain in the tabernacle, he would have gone trembling. Because if God didn't receive that blood that he had in the bowl, he would have been struck dead. But this one says here, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness," we have boldness to enter the holiest. How? By the blood of Jesus. It never loses its power. Hallelujah. So we just praise God for that. That's the only way you can come into your presence. Whenever I pray, I say, "Lord, I come into your presence today through the precious blood of Jesus." There's no other way. I don't come because I preach the gospel or whatever. I don't do that. I come in under the blood of Jesus into thy very presence. It has brought us closer to God. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:13 and 14, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off through sin, are made nigh by the blood," brought near, "by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace," hallelujah, "who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." What was a partition between us? Does anyone know? The partition was the law of the Jews. Because the Jews, against the Gentiles, we are God's chosen people. We have the law. And we're covered by the law. But when Jesus Christ came, he broke down the middle wall of partition between us and made us one in him through the blood of Jesus, Jew and Greek, and bond and free. We're all one in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? So this is the only way you can come into God's presence. Be made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. I love that he is our peace. When you want peace, like our brother wanted peace, you know. You want peace. It's in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's cleansed us from all sin. In 1 John 1:7, "And if we walk in the light," that's walk in what God has shown you to do. Not say, "Oh, I see it. Yeah, it's wonderful." No, walk in it. You've actually got to walk in what God has shown you to. Then there comes a blessing with it. "If we walk in the light as he is in the light," he showed you the light, "we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from most of our sins. Doesn't sound right, does it? From all our sins, from the day you're born, Tina, until the day you die. All sins. Who loves that scripture? Really wonderful. I love it too. So we have been justified. He has justified us through his shed blood. Romans 5:9. Much more than being now justified by his blood. Not by going to church and paying your tithes. That's okay, but that doesn't justify you. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Ephesians 1:4-7. According as he hath chosen us in him. When we came to church. Brother Tom, he chose you before the foundation of the world. That's what it says. According as he had chosen Tom before the foundation of the world, that he should be holy without blame before him in love. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that powerful? Who claims that for yourself? It's for us. Hallelujah. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Isn't that wonderful? Just thank God for that. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Because our sacrifice was just, we are now, not will be, we are now justified by his blood, because the blood never loses its power. If you're cleansed by the blood of Jesus, you're justified and made as clean as God is. Do you believe that? Oh, Brother Howard, I don't know. Yes, you're made as clean as he is. It's his justification. It's God's righteousness been given to you by the shed blood of our Lord Jesus. The Old Testament sacrifice testifies to you and I a wonderful truth. The believer came to the priest to sacrifice his lamb. We've said this many times. The priest did not examine the believer. Actually, Tim, you better come down here. We better show them how this works. Tim is the believer. He's got a lamb, he's got a rope, and he's holding it. I'll put your hand out like that, brother. And there's a lamb on the end there. Come on. And I'm the priest. And this, and he's bringing the lamb to have it sacrificed to cover his sin. Watch carefully what the Bible says. So the priest gets the lamb. He comes here. And the priest says, just stand over there. You're not in this. He didn't examine the believer. He got the lamb and he looked at it and he opened his mouth. He saw there's no blemishes underneath and no blemishes. He checked every part of that lamb to see if it was acceptable and clean. And brothers and sisters, that's exactly what God did when he examined the Lamb of God. He is accepted by God as a sweet-smelling savour unto God. He was clean. And when he is satisfied that that lamb was good and clean and pure, then he said to the believer, come here. And the believer put his hand on the lamb. The priest cut his throat and the blood splashed onto the believer. And he was forgiven of every sin. He had nothing to do with it. Isn't that wonderful? He bought the lamb. The lamb took the blame and died for his sin. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Take your lamb, brother. You know, I just think that's so wonderful. God's not examining you to see if you're a good person, that you'll be good enough for heaven. He examined Jesus Christ and found he was perfect. Isn't that wonderful? Say praise the Lord. And because he was accepted, we are accepted in him. The only way you can be clean is to cling on to the Lamb. Cling on to Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And God accepts you on the basis of the lamb that was slain. Hallelujah. I just think that's so wonderful. The precious blood of Christ as the lamb without blemish and without spot. So God has given us peace in an age when there's no peace. And it says in Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Blessed be his name. It has purchased us back to God. Legally and judicially, we have been bought with a price. Hallelujah. The Lord has been very good to us. And the price was met in Jesus Christ for me. For you? You? Who believes it's for you? He accepted you on the basis of Jesus Christ being accepted. How can we say it? Our scapegoat. He paid the price. He went in. And we were set free. When he died, we were set free. It says in Acts 20:28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. God purchased you, Brother Brian, with his own blood. Nothing to do with you. He never examined you. He examined the lamb. People say, oh, I'm not good enough for God. God's not worrying about you being good enough for God. You could never be good enough for God. He examined Christ and he was found spotless. So when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are made clean by the blood of Jesus. In John 6:54, whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. You see, brother and sister, the partaking, by faith we accept his precious blood and his broken body. As we have communion, we explain that. That means we partake by faith in the finished work through his blood. It overcomes Satan. Isn't that wonderful? Revelation 12:11. Just remember this. You have tremendous power in the blood of Jesus. I don't care what demon comes against you. No matter who comes against you, you have power with the blood of Jesus. Who believes that? Say amen. We have power with the blood of Jesus. He overcame them with the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So how do we apply the blood to our life today? You know how the Israelites did it in Egypt? They got a piece of hyssop stuck between the stones. They pulled it out. It was just a common weed of hyssop. They'd put it into the bowl of blood. They put it on the doorposts and lintels, and they were preserved from death. And if you have a simple faith in the blood of Jesus, that he paid it all, you'll be preserved from death and given eternal life. Let's say praise the Lord. It's wonderful. Hallelujah. No longer the chemistry, but the Holy Spirit is life in the blood. And God confirms our faith in the blood by giving the Holy Spirit. Brother Adam says here, and if he has never given you the baptism of the Holy Ghost yet, he says, then he hasn't confirmed your faith that you say that you have. But the token, Brother, the Bible says the token on doorposts and lintels was the blood. But the token now is the Holy Spirit, and it's a confirmation. He says, you believe and accept Christ as personal Savior, that's your faith. But remember, God gave Abraham a seal of circumcision as a confirmation of his faith. That's right. Then that was the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, when we say we believe God, God gives us the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is the seal of confirmation. Ephesians 4:30 says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of your redemption." Once you're sealed, you cannot be unsealed. Isn't that wonderful? When God seals you, you stay sealed. No matter what happens to you, up and down, through deep rivers and waters, and you're sealed. It's got a mark, a seal of God on you. It's a seal that God has recognized your faith when you receive the Holy Spirit. And if he hasn't given you the Holy Spirit yet, he can never recognize your faith, see. It will never lose its power on you. It's always there through life and death. Whether you live or die, and the Holy Spirit's there, the seal's on you, the seal goes with you. Into the grave and out of the grave and up into glory. The seal's still there. It's an eternal covenant. It's not just a seal like they had in the Old Testament. It never loses its power. Be present, present you blameless on the day of the coming of the Lord. When we come before the judgment seat of Christ, we are blameless because the seal's there. They've received the blood of Jesus, and God's recognized it, and it can never lose its power, even in glory. It'll take us into eternity. The blood will never, ever lose its power. The blood of Jesus is powerful right now that it has ever been and will ever be in the future. So, brother and sister, who's glad to be a part of the blood of Jesus Christ? To have that seal of God is something we should really appreciate God for giving to us. The devil can't touch that seal. He come along and said, "Oh, there's a seal there. I can't go near it." God puts a seal on you. You're under his protection. So, brother and sister, thank God for the blood of Jesus. Who loves him? Now we just stand and ask the musicians to come forward. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? We just give that sing that just for a moment. What key is that in there? What can wash away my stain? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Thank you.
my short walk so far with the Lord. There's a few things, you know, I don't know if it's the devil or what, or just the way of man's thinking. You try to stand on a few different things and you fall, they just fall out underneath you. And it just brings you straight back to that blood. And that's it. That's all it is. We just thank the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Precious Jesus, Lord, we just thank you so much for your precious blood. Lord, you've paid it all, Lord. You've paved the way, Lord. You've done it all for us, Lord. And all we can do, Lord, is accept it, Lord, and say thank you, Lord. And know that you'll sustain us, Lord, and bring us all the way, Lord. And, Lord, we just put all our faith and trust in you, Lord Jesus. Lord, what else can we do, Lord? And, Lord, I just pray a blessing upon each one here this afternoon and those that were listening in, Lord. May you just bless them, Lord, and encourage them along the way, Lord. And, Lord, you've done it all for us, Lord, and we just thank you and give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you have a song for us, Sister June, as we go? Yeah, let's sing that. Do we have a number? The blood should never lose its power. The blood shall never lose its power. Three, one, nine, Leah. And they only believe book. Bless you all. You may. You are dismissed.